Welcome to the Big Blue Podcast. I'm Lee Goodson, joined here by my co-host today, Dr. Greg Stone.
Hello, Dr. Stone. How are you?
I'm fabulous. Good. Having an amazing day. And we're here today with Dr. David Page, Assistant Professor of Mathematics.
Good to see y'all.
Glad you're here. And Southeast Campus Librarian Marianne Myers. This is your second show of the season, Marianne.
It is. Repeat podcasts.
Exactly.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, you must have done a great job the first time, which I know you did. So you've been invited back. We're going to talk about the new Common Book Selection. I've heard so much about this and how excited everybody is about it.
Yeah. And before we get into talking specifics about this book, can you all just give us a brief history of the Common Book Program? We're about to launch our fourth book.
That's right. Yeah.
For people who maybe are newer to the college, how did the program come around?
Yeah, absolutely. And I wanted to just say up front, we're very excited about the book that will start in the fall, which is called I Never Thought of It That Way by Monica Guzman. But as far as the program itself, speaking broadly, the Common Book idea, and sometimes it's called Common Read, is a program that's something that's an idea that's used pretty broadly these days. So many or perhaps even most colleges and universities across the country have one. I'm not sure when the idea started. We were looking at it, and it at least goes back. There's programs that have existed since the 90s or so, but perhaps even further back than that. TCC specifically, it was actually Dr. Kara Ryan Johnson, she's an English professor at Southeast, as you know, that this was all kind of her brainchild. She applied for a grant through the National Endowment of the for the Humanities, and she wanted to choose a book called Redeployment by Phil Clay. Her son served in the military, and that book is a military anthology, and so kind of helping students understand the experience of veterans. Obviously, we have a lot of veterans at TCC. Real early in the life of that grant, it became clear that the library would be a fantastic partner for working with the Common Book. And so the tradition now is that we have two co-chairs of the program, one on the faculty side, that would be me, and then Marianne is serving the role as the library side. And so that committee that we chair oversees a couple things for the Common Book program. We oversee the events that we put on that are connected to the book, and we also oversee the selection process for the book, which happens every 2 years.
So let's talk about the selection process. How does that process work, and how was this book chosen?
Yeah, so the idea of the process, the principle behind it is that we want multiple stakeholders. We want to get everybody, every interest across the college to have a voice in the selection of the book. So the committee itself has a very broad representation. We have a representative, at least one representative from every academic school. We have people from student life, people on the student services side, et cetera, et cetera. And we have kind of an extensive process actually for choosing the book. So we began actually by choosing a theme. So the theme for this upcoming Common Book is going to be curiosity, which we're very excited about.
I love that.
The theme currently was Indigenous Voices, and so we had an Indigenous author for the book that's just now ending. And so we select a theme, then we solicit ideas from across the college. We do a survey in the TCC today and get suggestions. The committee then looks at that list, and we sort of eliminate the ones that we don't feel capture the theme, and then we actually sit down and read them. So, you know, that's really the only qualification to be on the committee is just you've got to have a love for reading. And then we get it down to three finalists, and finally we have a college-wide vote. We're looking for books that meet our needs in a lot of different ways. Our overall theme is really the idea of empathy, understanding an experience that's maybe different from yours. We also want books that are very easy for faculty to use. So if I'm a political science faculty, I might have slightly different needs than somebody's a composition class, or dare I say a math class. And so one way that we sort of accomplish that is having books that hit multiple different ideas. But we also look for books that can be kind of more modular. So me as a math professor, and I do teach the Common Book in my class, it's not going to be appropriate for me to teach the entire text like it might be for a composition professor. Mm-hmm. But we want to select books where it's easy to take maybe one section or one chapter.
Right. Yeah. And hopefully more people are thinking about, you know, not being that history class or that literature class, sort of embracing this. And David, so you've been a great champion of that too. Tell us a little bit more about this book for the year. What's the, you mentioned the title of the book, but give us a little overview about what it's about.
So again, that is I Never Thought of It That Way by Monica Guzman. And she is a journalist, so she asks questions for a living. And that, she argues, is the key to connecting with one another. Mm-hmm. And the book is basically a guide to doing that. She uses examples from her own life to kind of demonstrate that, to kind of show that the more you know about someone, someone else's story, how they came to believe what they believe, the easier it is to understand the why they believe, why they hold those beliefs. And so the committee, looking at this book, we saw that kind of improving our abilities to have civil, respectful dialogues with one another, we think that could be really beneficial. And the tools and insights that Guzman provides, we think that could be a really powerful experience for our students.
We've had three books that we talked about here, Redeployment, the Randy Crable's book about the 1921 race massacre, and Braiding Sweetgrass. All of them are amazing books, by the way. The process by which you all go into selecting them is very thorough and greatly appreciated, I think, by many. But these themes are about connectivity and the struggles to connect or the consequences of disconnection. And I think maybe you just answered it really, Marianne, about do you think that this book is leading us into that direction too? And I think your answer is, I mean, I don't want to answer for you, but I think based on just what you said, the answer is yes. So if that's it, then I have a follow-up.
I would like to add a little bit more.
Yeah, please.
You can kind of tell based off of our program's goals why we've chosen the books that we've chosen. Critical thinking, promoting critical thinking, empathy, and civic responsibility. And you can see in each of those choices, those are our insights into different experiences or moments in history that we might not be familiar with. Mm-hmm. I think this book is kind of a path forward to bridging that disconnect because it really is kind of a guide, a blueprint.
It's more of a how-to.
Yes.
Some of the other books have been, you need, you know, have empathy so that you can understand other people. But this is how, instead of just saying, do it, this is how you do it.
Yes.
Yeah, there, that's amazing.
Every chapter has a things to try section. So whatever, if we're talking about clarity, there's a chapter on clarity, there are things to try. If you're in a conversation and you're just not understanding where they're coming from, things to try to get that clarification. Having that blueprint is really helpful. And I think when we were reading a lot and we came across this book, it was suggested by one of our faculty members on the committee. I had come across a TED Talk that the author did, and it really helped me understand why she chose to write this book, and I think it helps kind of connect. It does speak to that disconnect. She, and I'm going to paraphrase here, she said that whoever is underrepresented in your life will be overrepresented in your imagination. And those conversations, that's what she argues, those conversations are necessary to help bridge that disconnect.
After these last few years coming out of this pandemic, no doubt this book would have been, and I don't know when it was written, I don't think it was written before the pandemic, right? I think it's pretty new. But it seems like it would resonate differently if it had been written 10 years ago, right? I mean, there's something so present about the need for that kind of connection and to have those kind of practical steps, because we know so many of our students missed out because of the pandemic on so many experiences that are so formative, that having something so practical in their hands introduced through so many of their courses seems more important than ever before. David, just kind of as a final question, you mentioned this a little bit earlier, and Marianne, please chime in as well. But if people are interested in sort of developing part of this book for their course, how do they integrate it? I mean, how does the math professor or the biology professor or the workforce program person, how do they go about doing that? Where can they find some resources?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, first of all, we're more than willing to have a conversation with anybody that's interested in the book. I think, as you indicated, the answer for a math professor and the answer for somebody in the workforce is going to be very different. I'll defer to Mariana in a second as far as you accessing the book and all those things that the library takes care of. But I want to plug that we do have a Blackboard organization dedicated to curriculum resources for faculty. That's another thing that the committee maintains. And so if you just go to the Blackboard organization and you know how to do the enroll thing and you just search Common Book, you'll find our list of resources there. Of course, they can email us if they're having trouble. You just want to be aware that there's a Blackboard organization for each book. And so this would be, you want to match the current years, 24 to 26.
I'm just curious, David, can you give us just, I mean, we're almost out of time, one example of how a math professor is going to integrate it into his curriculum?
Yeah, I've gotten that question before.
Yeah.
So I do an honors math class, and a number of years ago, there was a New York Times article that the title was, "Is Algebra Necessary?" And so this author was asking, do we really need to be teaching this stuff in a mandatory way to everybody? So that's the theme for my honors class, is we're examining that idea. And so in the current Common Book, Dr. Robin Wall Kimmerer is a scientist, a botanist, but she had an interaction with an advisor, and she was explaining why she wanted to go into science and so forth. And the advisor said, that's not science, because she was speaking from her cultural background. And so that is a launch point for me to talk about the cultural components about mathematics. We think math is this, you know, cultureless idea, but that's of course not true.
That's not true. Yeah. I remember someone in my career said there's no such thing as social sciences. And I said, really? Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, thank you for your insight. Right. Yeah.
And then where can we access the book, Marianne?
The library has print copies. We also have the book on the Libby app, so you can access the ebook and audiobook through Libby as well. And you can access all of that. There will be a forthcoming library guide, so it's a public-facing guide that will have resources on the book, the author. It will have a calendar of programming events for the next 2 years as well.
Amazing. You've been listening to the Big Blue Podcast. I want to thank David Page and Marianne Myers for being here. This has been amazing.
Thank you,
thank you so much. Dr. Greg Stone, it's always good to co-host with you.
Thank you, Dr. Hudson. Have a great day.
Have a fabulous day.